and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stop right there. Sermon thought for this morning is, guard your heart. Guard your heart. You may be seated. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Guard your heart. You know, beloved, in the age in which we live, we don't have to be geniuses to figure out that we are indeed in a spiritual warfare. And one of the very strategic things that the devil wants to do is to pollute your heart and my heart, pollute our minds. He wants to distort our hearts. That's why we have to guard our heart. To guard our minds. That's why the Bible tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm going to kind of use the word heart and mind interchangeably in this sermon. But we got to guard our hearts. In this spiritual warfare, we are fighting against three enemies. You all heard me say this before. Three enemies. We are fighting against the world and its philosophies. We're fighting against our own flesh, which is really our toughest enemy. And we're fighting against the devil. Now, during this series out of Ephesians 6, I'm going to primarily be talking about the enemy, the devil. We're fighting against him. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We read it earlier, twice I read it, and we read it together. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. We're fighting against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual battle. So therefore, for the Christian, for you and me as born-again believers, for us to live victoriously, you got to be properly equipped. You got to be properly attired. You got to have on the right type of apparel. You got to have on the right type of armor. That's why it's so important, as Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesus and the church here at Love Fellowship, as the Lord has him to write it to us, we got to know what our armor is, and we have to wear it daily. Can somebody say amen? Because if you don't, even as a Christian, you can live defeated every day. As a Christian, you can be tripped up by the schemes of the enemy every day if you're not properly dressed. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the belt of truth. We got to put on, we were admonished to put on the belt of truth. And today we'll be talking about the breastplate of righteousness. You know, as a Christian, we have been justified. Oh, that's just a word that means we have been declared righteous. We have been declared righteous. And so we're called to live that way. Righteously and holy. We're called to live out what we've already been declared to be. Say that again. We're called to live out what we've already been declared to be. At salvation, that's one thing that you and I receive. We receive the righteousness of Christ. We're clothed in his righteousness. We're wrapped up in the righteousness of Christ. He has declared us righteous. We've been justified. What that means judicially, that means this is as if you and I had never, ever, we know this is not true, you know, we never, ever, ever committed a sin. To be justified, I mean, you're declared not guilty. You're declared righteous. And so God tells us daily to keep on, put on the breastplate of righteousness. And once again, the readers in this day would know what a Roman soldier would look like. So the breastplate for the Roman soldier was made out of typically metal, or at the very least, a very tough type of leather. And it covered their whole torso. It covered from their neck to their waist. It covered the front and the back. So they were protected. It protected the vital organs, like their heart, like their beating heart, their stomach. It protected. the vital organs, because much of their fighting in those days, of course, they didn't have guns yet. So their fighting those days, a lot of it was hand to hand combat. And people would have a knife or a sword and they'd try to stab you in your heart. And if you didn't have on a proper armor, you would be gone within a few minutes of warfare. So you needed the breastplate to protect you as you went into battle. So it is that God gives you and me the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness to protect our heart, to guard our spiritual vital organs. So we need the breastplate of righteousness as we fight this battle. See, God is holy. God is righteous. So as you and I hang out with him, as you pray to him, as you spend time with him, as you read his word, as you abide in Christ, his righteousness, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ, check this out, it begins to rub off on you and me. It begins to be developed in us. Because we are born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. We're born here. We come here living unrighteously because of the fall, because of Genesis chapter 3. We come here with a bent toward unrighteousness. So we got to hang out with our Father. We got to hang out with our Christ, our Savior, to learn how to walk and to live righteously. And as you and I learn how to live righteously, it's a deterrent to the devil. Again, as a Christian, you and I have what we call positional righteousness. We've been declared righteous. We have positional righteousness. The Bible said we're seated in heavenly places. We have positional righteousness in Christ. But you also need to exhibit personal righteousness in your daily living. You have positional righteousness, but you need to live, and I need to live personal righteousness and practical righteousness on a daily basis. And if you're not walking with Jesus, I say, if you're not walking with Jesus, if you're not displaying this fruit of righteousness, you simply are making the devil's job much easier. He's called the accuser of the brethren. That's one of his titles. He's called the accuser of the brethren. And so if you're doing a lot of unrighteous stuff, oh, I knew it was going to get quiet right there. If you're doing a lot of unrighteous stuff, you're doing a lot of sinful stuff, you're going to make the devil's job. He can easily, truthfully accuse you of all kind of stuff. If you're doing a lot of unrighteous stuff, you're making his job easy. If you're doing a lot of unrighteous stuff. So you and I have to guard our hearts. We have to protect our hearts. We have to keep on the breastplate of righteousness. Watch this. If Adam and Eve would have had on their breastplate of righteousness, check this out. They would have made the right choice rather than the wrong choice. They would not have eaten at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If they had on the breastplate of righteousness. If their son Cain, if he would have had on a breastplate of righteousness, he would not have killed his brother Abel. If Esau would have had on a breastplate of righteousness, he would not have sold his birthplace just for a little pot of stew, a little pot of porridge. If David would have had on David, a man after God's own heart, if he had on a breastplate of righteousness at Eden when he walked out there out of his bedroom area and walked out and looked out and saw Bathsheba bathing, if he would have had on a breastplate of righteousness, he would not have said, send her to me. And he would not have committed adultery. He would not have ended up killing her husband if he would have had on a breastplate of righteousness. We got to be clothed in righteousness. We got to walk this Christian faith out. And we do it by the power of God. We do it by hanging out with God. We do it by spending time in his word. But you need the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness simply means doing the right thing. Somebody say that. Do the right thing. Just do the right thing. I mean, just do the right thing. How many of y'all, don't raise your hand, but how many of y'all, God told you to go right and you went left. That didn't work out. I said, don't raise your hand. That didn't work out too good, did it? We got to do what God says do. When God says go right, go right. When he says be quiet, be quiet. When he says speak up, speak up. Whatever God says, you and I got to do the right thing. Do the right thing. So we do that by putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Got to guard our hearts. Listen to what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7. Jesus said this. He said that from within, out of the heart of men, perceive evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Hey, our hearts are messed up. That's why we got to guard these hearts. I don't need any help from the TV or from what I'm listening to. You got to be careful what you watch on TV. You got to be careful what you listen to, what kind of music you listen to. The devil is alive. You talk to some people, especially a lot of our young people today, and you know, a lot of this music that's out there, a lot of us, this crazy rap music and all kind of, I mean, I can't even drive down the road. So I mean, just a couple days ago, I left the church and went up here to, got up here to Wilcox, and I'm just trying to mind my own business, and somebody pulled up beside me. And man, some of the language coming up out that car, and they call it music. I'm like, man, hurry up and change the red light. Hurry up and change. I don't need any help. I got enough bad stuff in my heart anyway. I had to get no help, put some other bad stuff in there. And folks, I'm like, well, I'm just listening to the beat. I ain't listening to the words. Oh, no, that's a lie. If you listen to it enough, the words will get inside you. I mean, I'm a 70s and 80s guy for his music. You know, I'm an old school music guy. And man, some songs, you know how sometimes you go to the doctor's office or to your dentist or whatever, and they are in the Walmart, wherever you might be, and they pipe in a little new music. Sometimes I go into a place and I hear a song, and I might not have heard that song for 30 years. 30 years. And man, next thing I know, I get to sing, and I know every word in the song. I'm like, man, I wish I could memorize my Bible verses like that. So don't be talking about that stuff that can get in you. It does. So you got to be careful, beloved. That's all I'm saying. You got to be careful what you listen to. You know, you got to protect your heart, protect your mind. You got to guard your heart. I mean, some stuff, we are in the world. Jesus said be in the world, but not other world. So I know some stuff we're just going to be around. I understand that. But don't purposely. I'm not going to help the devil out. But let me see what this reality show talking about. Boom. Wives or whomever. All kind of wives in the L.A., wives in the L.A., all kind of old crazy shows they got. Some of y'all not laughing because some of y'all be watching this stuff all the time. I don't need to see that foolish. I see enough of that in real life. I don't need to go put on the TV and see some more of it. Can somebody say amen? You got to guard your hearts. You got to guard your hearts, beloved. That's all I'm saying. Jesus said, listen, all those sins, he listed a long list of them. And then Jesus said, all these evil things come from within, from right out of your heart and defile a man. That's why you got to guard your heart. You got to protect your heart. If you're not regularly and routinely wearing your breastplate of righteousness, then once again, you are an evil target for the devil and those sins that Jesus just mentioned. You're an evil target for evil thoughts. You're an evil target, easy target for lusting. You're an easy target for homosexuality or adultery or fornication. You're an easy target for coveting. You're an easy target for wickedness. You're an easy target for blasphemy and pride and foolishness. If you're not wearing and protecting this heart. Protect your heart, guard your heart, put on the breastplate of righteousness and wear it well. Beloved, you need to emulate. You and I need to imitate God. So put on righteousness. In Psalm 7:17, the psalmist says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. As children of God, as followers of Christ, we are to reflect the one we worship, right? We are to reflect. We are to be salt and light. And so God is holy. God is righteous. And in him is light. And watch this. And there is no darkness at all. No darkness at all in God. The psalmist says this in Psalms 45:7. He says, you, talking about God, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. God loves righteousness, but he hates wickedness. He hates wickedness. So put on righteousness. You put it on by doing what God says to do. And you find out what God says to do by spending time with him, by spending time in the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. The Bible. Spend personal time studying the word of God. Spend some time personally, just you and God, one-on-one. Spend some group time, like Sunday Blast, Sunday School. I was talking to Deacon Beasley just this past week about Sunday Blast. Hey, our numbers are going down, down, down. They should be going up, up, up. Anytime a group here at Love Fellowship are opening up the word of God, and you need to be trying to get there. Say, I want to get there and see what God has to say about me and today and how he's going to lead me and guide me, what he's going to protect me from, or how he's going to bless me. You know, Bible study is very, very, very important if you're going to try to live holy. That's not too deep and profound. That's just practical. Bible study, personal and group Bible study is very important if you're going to try to live righteously. Don't get quiet on me now. I'm going to do like the old preacher. Amen, lights. Amen. Listen to what Romans 6:13 says. You might want to jot this down. Romans 6:13 says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Oh, I almost shouted right there. We've been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Offer every part of yourself to him, to the Lord, as an instrument of right. Now, you and I, all of us, I don't care if you got saved when you were 5. I don't care if you got saved when you were 20. All of us have been used long enough as an instrument of unrighteousness. All of us have been used long enough as an instrument of the devil. So now we are called to live as an instrument of righteousness, an instrument of holiness, an instrument for God. So put on the breastplate of righteousness. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Ephesians 4:23-24 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on, somebody say put on. Put on the new man, which was created according to God. Watch this. In true righteousness and holiness. When we were born, because of the fall, fall of man, the sin of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, we're all, once again, we're born in sin, we're shaped in iniquity. That's why you and I have to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, I know you're a religious man, I know you're leading the church, I know you know some of the Old Testament scriptures, but you got to be born again. You and I have to be born again. So as a Christian, we're born again. Now we've put on the new man. Created in Christ, either created in righteousness, a new person. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. So you and I are new creatures in Christ. And so, beloved, you and I have to day by day, moment by moment, put on righteousness. Has to be kind of a conscious effort. You don't have to make a special effort to do unrighteous things. Let me say that again. You don't have to ponder, so how can I do something unrighteous? I'll do something crazy today. No, you don't have to ponder. That stuff just happens before you even know it sometimes. It's due to our fallen nature. But you gotta do some unnatural stuff, especially since you're a new man and a new woman in Christ. Do the unnatural thing, especially in this day and time. Do the unnatural thing by living righteously. Do the unnatural thing by living holy. Do the unrighteous thing by living justly. And once again, beloved, we don't run out of here and grit our teeth and do it in our own strength. God is so awesome. He's given us a helper. Matter of fact, he's given us the helper, the Holy Spirit. None of us can live and walk righteously if not by the Spirit of God. None of us can do anything worthwhile in God's eye except we are filled or indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Be like the man. Be like the man. Be like the man who's in Psalms 1. I'm just talking about having on the breastplate of righteousness. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So you don't want to be like that person who's hanging around the ungodly counsel, who hanging around and doing what sinners do and sitting in that type of seat. But his delight, the righteous man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, in God's law, he meditates both day and night. And because a righteous man, a righteous person, a righteous woman is doing it, because of that, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Why? Because he's a righteous man. He's in the word of God. And whatever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly, the unrighteous, Brother Jim, are not so. But they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Every time I read that, beloved, I don't know if your yard, how your yard is, or if you ever get these dandelions. You know, the little thing come up green and then they have that tuck, that top, that white puff. I call it a white afro. You know, as a kid, I used to like to get those and pluck them up, Brother Sawyer, and just blow it. Y'all ever done that? And it just goes everywhere. So that's what I think about when I read a verse like that. That's how the unrighteous are. That's how the ungodly are. Their life is just so unstable. They're like that white afro. You just blow. They're just all over the place. No stability. No stick-to-itness. So it should not be for the person who has on breastplate of righteousness. Because it says in verse 6 of Psalms 1, it says, for the Lord knows. He knows the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly, the way of the unrighteous shall perish. So, oh yeah, you want to make sure you have on the breastplate of righteousness. You want to put it on and wear it well daily. You want to live uprightly. You want to walk holy. You want to live righteously. You want to do what's right. Tell somebody, I want to do what's right. Now, I'm not trying to make you lie. So if you don't want to do that, don't say it. Don't say it. But you and I, as followers of Christ, deep down, we do want to do what's right. We need the Lord and His Word and His guidance and His wisdom to help us to do what's right. So you want your heart to be right. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, Jesus said this in this wonderful Sermon on the Mount, in what we call the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5:8. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See what's inside of us, saints, that we can verbally say all kind of stuff with our mouths. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm highly favored. Too blessed to be stressed. You know, some people say all this crazy stuff. You're like, man, just be real. You ain't all that. You know? But God knows our heart. Jesus knows our heart. And He said, if your heart is pure, if your heart is in me, if I've given you a new heart, you're going to see God. You're going to be in heaven forever. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The psalmist says, we read it earlier, Psalms 24, who can approach God's holy hill? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. This heart issue is very important. That's why even routinely when we have the Lord's Supper, about every other month, we read 1 Corinthians 11, where it says, let a person examine himself. Lord, examine my heart. And we need to change how we say that. Lord, examine me. We even sing it. I don't think our choir sing it, but a lot of choir sing, Lord, search me. And if you find something bad, take it out. Man, some of our songs might sound good, but our theology is messed up. Don't be saying if. Say, Lord, search me. And when you find something, when you find something, take it out. Because I know I've been declared righteous. Yes, I am justified. But living this daily walk, I still do some stuff that's unrighteous. Few of y'all say, oh, yeah, you too. So, Lord, help me. When you see stuff in me that's not right, take it out. Perform spiritual surgery on me, dear Lord. Take it out. Change my DNA. Make me walk with what you've declared me to be. Help me to live righteous. Let me keep on that breastplate of right. Let me guard and protect my heart. Let me be careful, once again, what I watch regularly on television. Let me be careful what I listen to, because stuff that we watch, it comes in through the eye gate. Things that we listen to come in through the ear gate. Those things impact our thinking. You better believe it. It impacts your thinking. Things you read, those things impact your and my thinking. And guess what? And when we start thinking a certain way, or certain things get in our heart, as Jesus said, guess what? It starts out on the inside, but then it comes out on the outside. It's kind of like the little girl story goes, and I can really relate to this, because I went one time years ago, my daughter was in Michigan, and I drove her down here, and they'd be fidgety and stuff, but the little story goes that the dad was driving his daughter, and she was in the back seat, and she was about 4 or 5 years old, and she was strapped in, but she was getting bored on a long trip, so she often would get out of the seatbelt and stand up in the back seat, and the dad, he'd look in the rearview mirror and say, girl, sit down, daughter, sit down, and she'd sit down, they'd drive on some more miles, and he look up again. She's standing up again. And so finally he said, all right, you stand up one more time. I'm going to pull this car over. I'm going to go old school. I'm going to pull off my belt and I'm going to whip you. She said, okay, Dad. Yes, sir, Dad. And so she went on and sat down. They drove on another 10, 15, 20 miles. She's still sitting down. She finally said, Daddy, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. So that's what it hard is sometimes. It's hard. Rebellious. It's hard. So I got to guard this heart. We got to work on this thing. So Lord, help this heart to be right. So we got to be careful what we allow to enter into us. Because as a Christian, we want to live right. I said we want to live right. We don't want to cause the name of God or Christ to be slandered. We don't want to cause the name of other Christians to be slandered. Well, yeah, them Christians, because I saw him or her doing this or saying this and going off. So we want to live right to be pleasing to God, number one. But also, once again, we are ambassadors for Christ. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are God's representatives. We're his foot soldiers. We're salt and light. So we want to live right, and I'm going to leave you with this acronym, as I'm getting kind of close to being through. Right, R-I-G-H-T, we want to live right. We want to keep on the breastplate of righteousness, this armor that we need for spiritual warfare against the devil, against the world, against our own flesh. Right, R-I-G-H-T, you might want to write, W-R-I-T-E, that down. You might want to write that down. I'm going to write this down. The R in right stands for relationship. Relationship with God. Relationship with Jesus. To have the breastplate of righteousness. To live right. Number one, this is Christianity 101. Number one, you gotta be born again. You gotta be saved. You gotta have a relationship with God. A relationship with Jesus. You gotta be a child of God. You gotta be ecclesia, the called out ones. You gotta have a relationship with the Lord. See, you couldn't go into a store and say, man, I really like that coat. I like that jacket. I'm going to take that jacket. I'm going to put it on. And I'm just going to walk on out of this store. Man, all kind of sirens are going to go off. And buzzes are going to go off. And you know how it is. The police, we don't know what they're going to do. They're going to come and grab you. And you can't just walk out without paying for that jacket. You got to go and talk to the proprietor, right? Talk to the owner and say, man, I like that jacket. Ma'am, I like that coat. I want to pay. I want to make a transaction, right? So you trying to walk around and say, I'm going to just be righteous and I'm going to grab this breastplate of righteousness and just put it on. No, you first got to go to God. You first got to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need your righteousness. I need that coat. I need that shield. I need that bulletproof vest. I need your righteousness. I am a sinner. I've been trying to live right, but I've been messing it up every time. And I heard that Jesus saved sinners just like me. So I want to have a relationship with you. I want your righteousness. I want to be born again. So you got to first, if you want to live right and have on the breastplate of righteousness, the first thing you got to make sure you have a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God. I firmly believe this. That's why many people in church, lives are so jacked up, because they don't have a relationship with some, not every, don't have a relationship with Jesus. I was in church, you know, grew up in the church and all that. Y'all know my story. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't get saved until I was about 29, 30 years old. But outside, looking in, I guess I was like that little girl. Outside, looking in, I was kind of conforming. But the inside, I was rebelling. So you got to have a relationship. Got to have a relationship. Got to have an ongoing, vibrant, daily relationship. We go to Jesus for salvation. We go to Jesus for deliverance. We go to Jesus for wisdom. He's our water when we are thirsty. He's our bread when we are hungry. He's our bridge over troubled water. He's our way out of no way. He's our counselor. He's our elder brother. He's our everything. So we don't come to the Lord just for salvation. That's the beginning. But we come to him daily for daily sustenance, right? I mean, you can't make it. Let me say it like this. I can't make it without the Lord every day. I need the Lord every day in my life. So the I in right is integrity. You want to be a person of your word. Talking about the breastplate of righteousness. You want to be a person of integrity, a person that people can trust. A person that people can depend on. And watch this. You develop this integrity. Watch this. Here's another I. You develop this integrity by being intimate with our Father. You develop this type of personal integrity, being a person of your word, a person that's dependable, by being intimate with God, being intimate with Jesus. Close walk with him. As you're with him, you will begin to be a person of integrity. The G in right is, you need to be godly. Be godly. We are told to be imitators of God. That's what the Bible says. Be imitators of God. We're called to be godly. I'm talking about trying to live right. I'm talking about keeping on the breastplate of righteousness, which just simply means right doing. We're told to be imitators of God. Be godly. Be Christ-like. The H in right. The H in right is holy. You can guess that one. Holy. God says to us, be holy, for I am holy, thus saith the Lord. He's called us to holiness. He He's called us out from among them. Not to think we are better than, but we are other than. We're not better than, but other than. Once again, we are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. We're God's chosen possession. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Sometimes as you walk this Christian walk, sometimes you have to, and we always need to pray for friends and relatives and try to reach them, but sometimes you got to come out from among them. Sometimes you have to separate yourself from certain groups, certain influences, certain crowds. Sometimes you can go and be, try to be strong. You want to be, I'm going to go in here, I'm going to go and I'm going to convert them and change them. Next thing you know, they got you doing stuff they doing. So you got to be careful. You got to come out from among them, be ye holy. Like I said, once again, not better than, but just other than. Other than. So right, you got to make sure you have a relationship with the Lord, got a relationship with Jesus. N, you want to be intimate with him and being a person of integrity. G, you want to be godly. H, you want to be holy. And then the T in right. You want to be a person of truth. A person who's trustworthy. A person of truth. A person who's trustworthy. And you and I have become people of the truth and people who are trustworthy. Watch this, another T. By trusting God. By trusting God. He's telling us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. He's telling us to live right, do what's right. And once again, God doesn't say just go do it the best you can. God said, I am with you. God said, I will help enable you. I would empower you. Matter of fact, I'm living inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. So trust the Lord. Trust him. He's going to help you to do what is right. Listen, God's track record is impeccable. God has never told you or me to do something that was wrong. Oh, that's an amazing track record. God always tells us to do what is right. He always, sometimes, you know, we're wrestling our mind. I don't know what should do. What should I do? God is saying that. Just look at what depends on what it is. Okay. If it's or something that's good and the right thing, yeah, that's God telling you to do it. If it's bad and the wrong thing, that's either the devil, the world, or your own flesh telling you to do it. So sometimes we make it too complex. If it's a good thing and the right thing, it's God telling us to do it. I don't know. Sometimes we get confused. We do what's right in our own eyes sometimes, but we need to be doing what's right by God's word, by his eyes. Y'all with me this morning? So trust him. Trust him to develop this righteousness in you. You've already been declared to be righteous. So trust him for a relationship. Trust him. Be intimate with him. Be godly. Be holy. Trust him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's where we get in trouble. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Lean not to your own understanding. You know, growing up, sometimes I just remember some people I had known, like in college or whatever, like somebody of the opposite sex. And you might think, that's the one for me. That's the one for me. And that's your own understanding. That's the one for me. But then it doesn't work out or whatever. And then you go on. And like in my case, by God's grace, I got married in 93. And then every now and then you might run back across the path of a person like that at a family reunion or high school reunion or college reunion. And you thought, quote unquote, that he or she was the one. And then, but God has somebody else for you. And you look back, you say, I'm glad I didn't go on my own understanding. I'm glad I didn't make that decision. I'm glad I didn't go on my own understanding. I'm going to leave that alone. But trust in the Lord. He's going to lead you right every time. He's going to lead you to do the right thing every time. He's going to always lead you and me to do the right thing every time. Just this past week, I thank God for every day, every year. But for me, since I've crossed over that 50, things start happening that used to not be happening physically sometimes. So about midweek, this past week, like I had some congestion or something, and my nasal passage was hurting and had like a dull headache and stuff. About 2 days, I never had anything quite like that. And I was kind of telling my wife, Tanya, about it. And she said, well, let's just pray about it. So we prayed about it, and sure enough, it got a little better. And you know, I'm not big quick to take medicine, but then she was like, well, you might want to take a little Advil. So one day I was popping Advil. And I felt a little better that day. But as time went on, that next day, I think that was Thursday, Friday, I got a little better. And Saturday, I got better. And Sunday, I feel a lot better. I was telling Deacon Beasley this morning, I think sometimes we go through these little ailments to make us be more appreciative when we are, quote unquote, feeling pretty good. So sometimes when you're not feeling good, you're so thankful that you're feeling pretty good. Because a couple of days ago, I wasn't feeling too good. So the right thing to do, and as I thought about that, the right thing to do is praise God just for good health. Praise God for salvation. Praise God that things are as well as they are. Praise God we got a little money in the bank. Maybe it may not be more as much as you want or need, but praise God that things are going along pretty well. Praise God for salvation. Praise God for deliverance. Praise God for growth. Praise God that we can live. Watch this. We can live righteously. I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but we can live holy. Praise God for that. It's the right thing to do. It's the good thing to do. It's the right thing to do. So I want to take a clue from Psalms 150 as I take my seat. Praise the Lord because it's the right thing to do. It's the right, R-I-G-H-T, thing to do. And we want to keep these hearts right. Praise God in His sanctuary. It's the right thing to do. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. It's the right thing to do. Praise Him in His mighty acts. It's the right thing to do. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. It's the right thing to do. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. It's the right thing to do. Praise Him with the lute and harp. It's the right thing to do. Praise Him with the timbre and dance. It's the right thing to do. Praise Him with string instruments. It's the right thing to do. Praise Him with loud cymbals. It's the right thing to do. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. It's the right thing to do. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's the right thing to do. Praise and worship is always a good thing and the right thing to do. So you ought to praise Him this morning. You ought to praise Him for your health, praise Him for your strength, praise Him for salvation, praise Him for the relationships that you have. You ought to praise Him. It's the right thing to do. Praise Him. Your heart might not be a perfect heart, but you've been declared righteous and your heart is not as messed up as it used to be. You ought to praise Him that things are as well as they are spiritually. You ought to praise Him for growth in the Lord. You ought to praise Him. It's the right thing to do. 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 I'm not saying praise the choir. I'm not saying praise the preacher. I'm saying praise God. Praise Jesus. Praise your Savior, your salvation, the one who gives you salvation. It's the right thing to do. Praise the one who was born of a Virgin Mary. Praise the one who went to Calvary's cross. It's the right thing to do. Praise the one who died on the cross. It's the right thing to do. Praise the one that they laid in a borrowed tomb. But early. Oh, it's the right thing to do. Early that Sunday morning, He got up with all power in His hand. It's the right thing to do. Praise Him while you still got breath on this side. Praise Him because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Live holy. Live in a way that people will say, why are you different? Why are you handling this situation different? Well, it's God. It's Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord, oh my, I would have lost my mind too. I would have gone off too. I would have ended up out in Moxham Bend too. I would have thrown in the towel too. But if the Lord has been with me. The Lord sustains me. The Lord keeps me. The Lord holds me. He 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 holds me. Stand this morning. Guard your heart. Guard your thought life. Praise the Lord. It's the right thing to do. Do what's right. Do what's right. For the Christian, do what's right. Do what's right. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for You declaring us righteous. Thank You for You justifying us. Help us, oh God, to live that out. We admit, we confess, we repent, dear Lord. Oftentimes we don't act righteously. Oftentimes we don't say the things we should say. Or sometimes we don't speak up when You tell us to speak up. So Lord, help us. Help us. We have, once again, this positional righteousness. Help us to live out this personal righteousness. practically, this practical righteousness, even every day of our life. Fill us with your spirit. Hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Help us to be salt and light. Bless your people, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There may be perhaps someone this morning, maybe your life has been very chaotic. Your life is not a life of righteousness. Your life maybe is more of a life of wretchedness and brokenness. If that's you this morning, I would suggest maybe say, you might not have a relationship with God, with Jesus. Once again, he can save you. He can forgive you. He can cleanse you. The Lord says a broken and a contrite heart, he does not despise. He says, confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. Also, maybe salvation is not your issue this morning. Perhaps you're looking for a church home, or just you this morning.